God's word, not that I'm perfect. And it's good for people to see that you're not perfect, but you're still a believer. So I would prefer to have the nosy neighbors. That way I can be an influence on them. Y'all get it? That was just a side note. But yes, we're supposed to let our light shine. I don't think y'all got it. Y'all would prefer the noisy neighbors. Go ahead. The majority of y'all only get 3 or 4 hours of sleep anyway. But I can handle the noise because I stay right across the track. So even when the train is coming through, I don't even hear it. So, but again, seriously, I'm glad to be in here with you guys tonight. I'm super excited about the opportunity to teach on tonight. But more importantly, I'm excited about what God is doing in each and every one of your lives. We are truly, truly blessed. And unless you have experienced church done the wrong way, sometimes we take it for granted when church is being done the right way. But we're truly blessed because we have leadership that's truly about our God-given potential. We're very strategic in everything we do. We're not asking you to come just to waste your time, but everything is strategic. We really want to see you grow in Christ-led character, conduct, and conviction. And so I said that to say this, guys, engage. Engage in the process. If you engage in the process, I'm telling you, your lives will be transformed forever. So, you know, again, I'm excited because I love to see people grow. I'm not here to just teach and you say, hey, you did a great job. That's not what it's about for me. I want to see people transformed. If I wanted to just teach, I'd have stayed where I was, where I had the opportunity to teach every Wednesday on Sundays. But I wanted, not me, to be honest with you, God wanted me in a place where I could see transformation. So I'm excited about what God is going to do and continue to do in your lives. So tonight we're talking about the Trinity. How many of you all are familiar with the word Trinity? Let me see your hands again. So let me ask you this. If I ask you to describe the Trinity, how many of you all could do that? How many of you all are confused about the Trinity? That's good. How many of you all have never even heard the word Trinity? So you've all heard it. Isaac is the only one confused about it. About 6 of y'all could explain it. But the Trinity is simply God eternally existing at the same time in 3 persons. One God that's eternally existing at the same time in 3 persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a doctrine called oneness, Pentecostals, that believe that there's one God, Jesus Christ, that exists in three people, 3 persons, but it's at different times. In other words, God exists in Jesus at times, the Father at times, and the Holy Spirit at times. That contradicts what we believe. Because we believe that God exists simultaneously at the same time in 3 persons. Are y'all with me so far? So, you know, the teaching of the concept even on the Trinity can be very complex. But what I want to be honest with you guys, very transparent. Because I had been teaching for 16 and a half years when I come to Timber Creek. Been studying the word for about 21. But when it comes to praying Isaac, I still scratch my head. I'm like, okay, if I'm praying to you, God, you know, am I supposed to talk to Jesus? Am I supposed to talk to the Holy Spirit? I literally thought God was the Father and Jesus was just the Son and the Holy Spirit was just the Holy Spirit. Until I come to Timber Creek, this is how powerful Grow Track is. I did not understand the Trinity. So I have benefited from the teaching in Grow Track. But there are individuals who will say that because the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, then it's not scriptural. Did you know the word Trinity was not in the Bible? It's not. You won't find it in the Bible. And there are those who would say it's not scripture because if you can't show it to me in the Bible, well, then it's not scripture. How many of you all have heard people say that? Even though the word is not found in the Bible, the concept is, and we're going to show you that. But I want to say this, that we oftentimes use words to describe God, to relate to believers, and that's not found in the Bible. Words like omnipresent to describe God. Omnipresent means that God is everywhere at the same time. Well, you won't find that word in the Bible, but it's scriptural because the word of the Lord says that the eyes of the Lord is everywhere, beholding the good and the evil. God is everywhere. One of the Jewish names of Jesus is Jehovah Shammah, meaning that the Lord is there. We're on the way there, but he's already there. He's everywhere. Omnipotent is another word that we use to describe who God is, meaning he's all-powerful. Son, you won't find the word omnipotent in scripture, but it's scriptural because God is all-powerful. How many know we serve an all-powerful God? Even the word Bible is not found in the Bible. So for those individuals that are always saying, well, if you can't show it to me in the Bible, then it's not true. Just ask them, can you show me the word Bible in the Bible? No, don't do that because we're not supposed to debate over the word. But we use the word Bible to refer to God's God-breathed word. Am I making sense? Because this is about laying a foundation because I know that even when we begin to share our faith, that people will challenge us. And we want to make sure you guys have a strong foundation. So if somebody say, well, the Trinity is not scriptural, you can't find it in the Bible, just tell them, well, the word Bible is not in the Bible, but you believe that. So everybody smile. Everybody with me? All right. So, you know, like I say, the concept of the Trinity can be very complex. Again, guys, I didn't understand it. But what we want to do tonight is we want to use something natural, tangible, to give an illustration to try and bring some simplicity to this concept. Now, the analogy we're going to use is not an accurate analogy, because it's impossible for us to take something tangible to try to convey a divine principle, a divine concept, because we will never be able to fully understand who God is and how God works in this human flesh. Are you with me? But we're gonna come as close as we can, but I think you guys are gonna get the idea. What we're gonna do is, Paul, you gonna help me? Because we remember Trinity is talking about one God existing at the same time in three persons. Okay, so we got some water. Can anybody tell me the chemical formula that's in H2O? Boy, y'all are smart. Can anybody tell me what Revelations 3 and 20 is? Oh, look at you. No, Okay, so all righty. So we got some water, H2O, two-part hydrogen, one-part oxygen. So H2O is in three different forms, just like the Trinity is in three persons. So we have our liquid, drinking water, it's H2O, all H2O. We have some ice. It's a solid form. It's melting, but y'all get the picture. It's still all H2O. I don't know if this is going to work. Paul, I think we done let all the steam out. It's supposed to be steam. I don't see it.
Let's try pouring it.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to do?
Let's try.
Yeah, I see steam. Do anybody see the steam?
It?
Yes. All right, Paul, you're going to burn yourself. Okay. So, we also had steam coming up out of the water. Well, you know, it was vaporized, so that's still H2O. I'm not that good with props. Just ask the kids in Kid Works. Hoda, you know. I mean, I'm not good with props. So, do you guys kind of get the idea that H2O is in three forms? You got your liquid, drinking water. If you put water in temperature degrees of 32 degrees Fahrenheit or below, what happens? It turns into ice. It becomes solid. If you put it in a temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit, it begins to boil and then it vaporizes and it steams. So do it make sense that H2O in three different forms, but still, guess what? It's still all H2O water. God in three persons, but guess what? He's still all God in all three. That's the Trinity in a nutshell. We can say amen and go home. but is it kind of making sense? We're going to give you some scriptures. So, Let's look at our fill in the blanks. Let's look at how the Trinity, how they are all elect, the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first blank is they are united in power. They're all three fully God. They're united in power. They all three of them have power. They're united in mission. Let me say this about the Trinity. They're not at odds with one another. There's no discord. There's harmony in heaven. They're all on one accord. They're united in mission. They have the same mission. And the mission is to see mankind redeemed. That's the mission of the Father. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter tells them, I know y'all think that the Father is slow because they was looking for the return of Christ. He said, and I'm paraphrasing it. This is Jolene's translation. He says, I know y'all think that the Lord is slow. He said, but he's not slow concerning his promises. He goes on to say that it is God's desire that no one perish, but all come to know Jesus Christ. It's God's desire that every individual be saved. The Father desires it, but guess what? The Son had to offer himself up. There had to be a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So the Father desired it. The Son sacrificed himself. But then the Holy Spirit had to come, and it is the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to come into the world and convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit brings our awareness to sin. See, I'm going to be real. I had gotten saved, and then I went back out into the world. And I didn't understand then, Chester, what I understand now. But even when I was in the club, I was uncomfortable. I became uncomfortable. I used to didn't have a problem drinking gin and juice. Now, that was 26, 27 years ago when I was in the club. But then I didn't understand that it was the Holy Spirit. Mr. John, I didn't understand that it was the Holy Spirit convicting me. But you know what I did, Miss Jackie? I started faking it, because I would get my cup and pour myself up in it, and I would go to the club because I was trying to fit in, because I didn't know who I was. And I was trying to fit in with people who didn't even know who they were. But the Holy Spirit, even when I was out there in the world, he was dealing with my heart. So the Holy Spirit convicts us. Jesus says nobody comes to the Father except they're drawn. So you see how all three of them work together to redeem mankind, to redeem us. They're united in community. Is this making sense? And they're also united in love for us. Now this one, Amy, I could shout over. Because to know that I am loved by God. You're loved by God. It doesn't matter what you do. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And when we're saying God, we're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's look at how it all works. John 3:16 says what? Y'all sound like y'all speaking in tongues. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. See, that's King James. That's good, though. That's what I learned it on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God gave his son. But Jesus says that no man takes my life, but I willingly lay it down. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to pick it up. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love, or he demonstrated his love, that while we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. But then again, the Holy Spirit loves us too. And it's so important that we understand this, because if we don't, and the thing that we've discovered in Starting Point, especially week one, that a lot of people will embrace the Father, a lot of people will embrace the Son, Jesus Christ, but they shy away from the Holy Spirit as if he's irrelevant. And because of the way God's people act, people have given the Holy Spirit a bad rep, because God's people are weird and people think that it's the Holy Spirit that's weird. But the Holy Spirit loves us equally. And what God shared with me was, this is about getting clarity on who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is, so that we can develop an even greater and more intimate relationship with all three of them. Okay. So we see how they are alike in so many ways. Let's look at how they are unique. We're going to look at God the Father first. He is creator. Now in your book, I'm not for sure, do y'all, it's probably going to be on the next page, have all the scriptures. You have them? Okay. So the Father is the creator. Genesis 1:1 says what? In the beginning, God, it was God who created the heavens and the earth. Okay, Nehemiah 9:6 says, "You alone, O Lord, you have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts." You have the scripture right there. So I'm not going to read all of these scriptures. But the Father is also Redeemer. Psalm 78 and 35 says, and they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Redeemer literally means to buy back, to take back ownership of. And one of the greatest demonstrations found in scripture outside of what Jesus did on Calvary is the book of Hosea. I don't have time to deal with it, but God literally tells a prophet of God to go and buy back his wife who had left him and went to the red light district. And God told him to go buy her back. He says, because I want you to experience what I'm feeling about my people Israel. They turned their backs on me. But I want, just like your wife turned her back on you, I want you to go buy her back. So Redeemer literally means to buy back. As I was thinking about Redeemer, I thought about Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he has redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. King James. Any redeemed people in the house tonight? You got a story today to tell. You got a story to tell about how God redeemed you. I'm getting excited. Let me get back here. Then there, which still talking about the Father, the developer of the plan of redemption. Let's look at Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, verses 25 through 27. And if you have a highlighter or even a pen, if you're not afraid to mark in your Bible, I want you to circle or highlight every time we come across, I will. He says, Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, it's in your notes. Beginning with verse 25, he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinance. The Father's plan of redemption. But notice he says, I will put my spirit. So that's including the Holy Spirit. They all work together because they are a Trinity. And then number four, the Father knows the time of Jesus' return. So only the Father knows when Jesus is going to return. Not the angels, not even Jesus himself, but only the Father knows this. So for those who are always predicting that Jesus is going to return, and I'm 52. I know I don't look it. Thank you. I wear 52 good, don't I? This is what 8 hours of sleep would get you. Yes. And no children. Yeah. But anyway, we're talking about the Father right over here. So, but seriously, this is why it's so key that we engulf ourselves in the Word, because there's so much deception. And people are frantic, and you know, because people are saying, well, Jesus is going to come back, and even Prince, he's dead and gone. He was talking about he was going to party like it was 1999. And I'm going to be honest, how many, I know I'm not the only one who literally thought that Jesus was going to come back in 1999. And so I was doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do. I was getting it all out the way. But before December the 31st, 1998, I was going to surrender. Because I didn't want Jesus to come back. Seriously, Sonya, I believed it. Prince said it, and I believed it. I thought Jesus was coming back. But the scripture says, nobody knows. Nobody knows. So let's look at the Son. Jesus the Son. He is the Son of God. We see in Matthew, the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, it's talking about Jesus' baptism. You know, he was baptized by John in the River of Jordan, and the Bible says that when Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens open, and the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove, and then he hears a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, King James, in whom I'm well pleased." So right there, you see all three of them at work. I want to say this here. Jesus is referred to in the Gospels as the Son of God and what? The Son of Man. They're both the same. The Son of God speaks to his divinity, or his divine nature. The Son of Man speaks to his humanity. So I just thought I would throw that in, because I didn't know that. In fact, I didn't know any of this. I'm telling you guys, you know, 23 years ago, Miss Mary, I could only quote John 3:16 and Song of Songs 23. But I'm telling you, when you avail yourself, and I still have a whole lot of growing to do, but when you avail yourself, God is amazing. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Savior. Jesus is Savior. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. I'm going to go ahead and rush through these because I have a time frame. And so Jesus is Savior. You have your scriptures. Jesus is intercessor. And Jesus, as we've already said, he doesn't know the time of his own return. The Holy Spirit. Now, next week is going to be a more in-depth teaching on the Holy Spirit, so you guys really want to come. You want to continue on through this process, because even Grow Track 2 goes deeper on talking about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit, this is why we already embrace the Holy Spirit, because he fills us with power. He comforts us. He gives us courage and boldness to be witnesses or to witness. And he's a teacher. Did y'all get that? All of that? Okay. We're not on that yet. Yeah. Okay. So the Holy Spirit, he fills us with his power. He comforts us. He gives us courage and boldness to witness. And he's a teacher. He teaches us and he guides us. So, and I really want to just emphasize this again. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how many people you've seen act weird. And I've seen weirdness. I got to be careful what I say. Because you never know who might get our password and click on and hear me And because they was acting weird, and they know I saw them acting weird, I don't want them calling me and saying, why were you talking about me in Grow Track? So I'm just saying, I got to be careful. But I've seen weirdness. So what we're going, but like I said, just embrace the Holy Spirit seriously. Develop a relationship with him. Yes, we have no problem with the Father. You know, we have no problem with Jesus. But we've seen it, y'all in Starting Point, a lot of people have a the wrong concept about the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is one of the most, well, the most important person here on earth. Because Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. My Father is going to send him. Embrace him. So what you guys are going to do at your table for the next 10 minutes is you're going to talk at your table about the favorite things, a couple of minutes to just, you know, maybe share some of your favorite things. Maybe, you know, not everybody, but Isaac, what about your table? One thing that you guys shared. Either one.
The Holy Spirit dwells within you.
The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Who else want to share something?
God is a provider. So he provides for us even when we need him.
He is definitely a provider. One of the Jewish names is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I just want to say, see, it don't take much for me. Because I know that God has provided for me. I can remember Mr. John at the age of 18 going to the refrigerator. It was just me and my mom. My brother and sister was in college and opening up the refrigerator and there was nothing in there. I can remember having to go to my grandmother's to get something to eat. I know what it is to not trust God and go out there and do things and put yourself in uncompromising positions just to have somebody to provide for you. But I know what it is to trust God. I know what it is to take God at his word. And I'm telling you, God is a provider. And I'm not just talking about tangible things. He provides you with peace. He provides you with comfort. He provides you with his love. And I know I got some singles in the house. How many singles in the house? Yeah. Well, we got Valentine's coming up. Now, everybody single is not single. I'm just saying. But God will provide you. He will provide for you, rather. I'm a living witness. If you trust him, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. He's Jehovah Rohah. The Lord, my shepherd, he'll provide you with guidance. He'll provide you with counsel. He'll provide you with healing. The word says, when your mother and your father, this is what David said, when your mother and your father forsake you, the Lord will take you up. I know what it is to have God be a father. Where we at? So I'm sorry, sweetie. Give me two more and we go move on with the teaching.
One of the things that I really love about the Holy Spirit is that he leads us into all truth, not just the truth about the Father, but the truth about Jesus. And he also leads us in the truth about ourselves, about how special we are to God, probably to Jesus, and also to himself. That's one of the big roles of the Holy Spirit that I personally really appreciate, is just that enlightenment that he provides.
Yes, did y'all hear that? The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. Dan. Yes. He comforts us in our deepest hurts, our discouragements. Even now, because I know some of you all have already realized it. My pronunciation is not the best. But you know what? I refuse to back down and not do what God has called me to do. Because God reminded me that if he could use Moses... You see, it was God's will to just use Moses, but Moses began to make excuses because he had a speech impediment. And so God called his brother Aaron to assist him. My speech impediment, I'm not even going to call it that, but you know what it does? It keeps me humble. It keeps me trusting in God that no matter how much information I obtain, I still need God. Let's move on. So, fast facts on the Trinity. I'm excited, guys. I'm really excited. All three were present in creation. Fast facts on the Trinity. All three were present in creation. Genesis 1 and 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Let us, plural, make man in our image. So all three were present in creation. We've already read Genesis 1 and 1 where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Now we see where God is saying, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1 and 2 says that the earth was without form. It was void. It was just a big deep, darkness. But then the Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So we see that God was there, the Father. Is that making sense? But also the Spirit of God was there. Y'all want to know how Jesus factors in where Jesus is at? John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word of God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." The Word was in the beginning. Well, what is the Word? Will y'all allow me to go King James? John 1, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace." So Jesus was right there in the beginning. He was the Word. Do y'all need me to repeat that? So you see, all three of them was right there together. Okay. So, all three work together in perfect unity. They are unified. We've already talked about it. There's no division in the Trinity. There is only, here's a fill in the blank, there is only one God, not three. Some religions teach that there are three gods, but no, we serve one God in three persons. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21. He's praying to the Father about the disciples then, but he also prays for us now. He said, "Father, I pray that they would be one, even as we are one." They were unified. They're unified, and that's the prayer of Jesus. He wants us to be unified. We have another scripture, Ephesians 4 and 6. I'm not going to read that. But then he has revealed himself in three persons, which which we just said. Father God, Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We see this at Jesus' baptism. We talked about it, how when Jesus was baptized, how... I'm going to talk and let y'all do the fill in the blanks. Is that okay? Okay. So, Jesus' baptism. We've already talked about it, how when he come up out of the water, so Jesus is in bodily form. He's in the flesh. He comes up out of the water. The heavens are open. The Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. And he hears a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So there's three distinct persons. Would you agree? Jesus being baptized in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is descending upon him. But then the Father is in heaven saying, "I'm pleased with him." You with me? When you read the Gospel of John, especially John, the 14th chapter, I hope I'm not boring you with scriptures, but I'm just a word person. I challenge you to read Psalm 119, and it talks about all the benefits that comes from the Word of God. So I don't mean to bore you, but I'm telling you, this, the Word has sustained me, and it's kept me from going down different paths. So I don't mean to bore you, but Jesus in John, the 14th chapter, especially John 14, 15, and 16 chapter, Jesus even teaches a Trinitarian a teaching, because he's constantly talking about the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's on earth, but he's talking about his Father in heaven and the Holy Spirit that his Father is going to send. So I just want to make sure you guys understand that it's three in one. So, number three, we're doing great. All three persons of the Trinity are individual and yet equally divine. They're all three individual. We looked at how they are alike. We looked at how they're different. But they're all three equally divine. That's it. So, seriously, I know you're not going to say, "Well, no, I wasn't helped. I'm more confused now than I was when I come in." So I don't know why we ask, you know, were you blessed? Did you get anything out of it? Because people are not going to say, "No, I didn't." I hope you don't. But seriously, did this help give some clarity to... Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because this is not, it's not about me. It's about you guys. We want to make sure you have the right foundation. Because if you have the wrong foundation, your house becomes shaky. But when you have the right foundation, it will sustain you through life's storms. And so we just want to make sure that you guys understand even greater, you know, the relationship that you have with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also to embrace it and become even more intimate in those relationships. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand it back over to Paul. If you would, let's just bow our heads. Gracious God, again, we just come, Lord, just thanking you, oh God, for who you are. We thank you for your love, God, that you have loved us and you continue to love us. That it doesn't matter what we do. We know, God, that it's only because of your mercies, God, that we're here today. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every day, and God, we're so grateful. I pray, Father, and I ask in the name of Jesus that, God, this word that has fallen, and I speak it on good ground, is falling on good soil. I pray, Father, and ask in the name of Jesus that you, through your Holy Spirit, would just continue to water this word and give an even greater understanding of the Trinity and your relationship with mankind and how we are to relate to you. We're so grateful because, God, at the end of the day, you're faithful and we're not. You're faithful and we're not, and we're so grateful that you would do everything that you did and that you would give Jesus, your one and only son, to die for us. Knowing, God, that we would betray you, but still, God, you did it out of love, and thank you, Father. Now, I pray, Father, even as Paul prayed in his letter to the church at Corinth, I pray that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray that the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all. Continue, O God, to show yourself strong and mighty in each and every one of our lives. We thank you, O God, and I speak it. You are the lifter of our heads. And I pray, God, that those that came in grieved tonight and with heavy hearts tonight, God, I pray, God, that as they look to you and lean and depend on you, that you will lift up every head. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. We thank you, God, that we can declare that we already have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. We pray. Amen.